Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 88 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Setting Spiritual Markers of Time, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Don't eat your seed, just your fruit. Do you eat eggs or eat your chicken? Well, if you like eggs and you eat your chicken, you don't get any more eggs, right? So you don't eat your seed, you eat the fruit that the seed provides. Some truth is fruit and some truth is seed. Just eat the apple and not the tree. It just rhymed on, it wasn't on purpose, it just come out that way. Don't eat your seed, just your fruit. Some truth is fruit and some truth is seed. Just eat the apple and not the tree. Now, does that make a little sense? Now, here's one thing I want you to understand about seed that you plant. Seed that you plant is not as edible as fruit you eat. You plant hard corn, you eat soft corn. Right? Now, just keep that in mind as we're going into fourth dimension. I'm just messing with your spirit just a little bit, trying to get you ready to go in here. Now, here's a picture, if you can see it, of a sower. And you know perhaps the scripture, and it says there was a sower, and he went out to sow, right? And it said, but other fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. So we understand when seed fall upon good ground that it equals what? An increase. You don't sow one seed and get one seed. When seed falls into good ground, it produces fruit 100, 60, 30-fold. So it grows, it multiplies. That's seed upon good ground. So when the Word of God falls in you, it should produce that. Now I want to add this one little part. Now here's the rest of the story over in verse 23. But he that did what? Received seed into the good ground is he that hears the Word and does what? Understands it. You see that? Which also beareth fruit, bringing forth 100-fold, 60, 30. So what makes good ground good ground? It has understanding. Now, if you read the parable of Matthew 13, the first parable, you'll see that there was a sower, some fell on wayside, hardy ground, stony. And then Jesus goes on. There's seven or eight parables in chapter 13. And Jesus gives the explanation of the first two parables. Then we use that as a primer or a cipher to understand all of the parables. So Jesus explains the first two parables. He's explaining in verse 23 what he meant in the first parable. And he says here, when you have understanding with the word or with the seed, then it brings forth fruit. Well, why does understanding? What's the deal there? I'm not going to the Greek terminology, but the understanding has everything to do with time. A sower needs to know when to sow seed to get a harvest, 160-30. If I sow corn in the middle of December, will I get corn? It'll sprout and die. Why? Because I don't have understanding that you need to plant it the last of March, first of April. Right? So understanding brings with it the fourth dimension of time. We need to understand it so we know the timing of it. All right? Now you know why I draw my little boxes and stuff. I'm trying to bring with the teaching an understanding so it brings forth a harvest in your life. All right. With that in mind, let's move forward. God is recovering man's reason and therefore the ability to set spiritual markers or time. So, if I understand that I need to know when to sow the word in the right season and the right time, it takes me, I need to have more information than just sowing seed. To follow Christ is to follow the reason in the time that God created you. So God did not create me in 200 AD. He created me for this time. Cell phones and all. Computers and all. All of it. God created me in this time. So I'm not trying to run back to that time that I wasn't created in. I'm trying to learn how to live in the kingdom in this time. A lot of people believe if they can go back to 200 AD and bring it to this time, they'll be closer to Jesus. Wrong. You're not born in that time. You were born in this time. So you need, see, a lot of people spend their whole life trying to go back in the time, never living in their time and never feeling fulfilled. You've got to accept the timing of God, and He puts you here in this time. You got to come to terms with that. Little House on the Prairie is fine, but watch it on TV. It's amazing to me, everybody wants to get off the grid, but there's some reason they still want to use batteries. Yeah, don't get me started on that one. All right. You must own where you are in life to have the authority of all time in your time. You get it? The reason that we want to take authority of where we are in life, and I've taught you that over the last few months, to take authority, to own our time, to own our life, to own where we are, to own what we've done wrong, to own what we've done right, to even own what others have done wrong to me. I'm going to, because it's invading my time. So if you mistreat me, guess what? I'm going to own it. And I'm going to forgive you. I don't care what you want to do. Because you are not going to invade my time and make my time your time and own my time. I want to live in the reason that God put me here in this time. And to do that, I got to reclaim my time. I have to reclaim it so I can give it to Him. Fourth dimension. You can't see it, but it's there. Now, Jesus' life was created by His reason in the relationship to time. So we're going to own our time. We're going to own our time so we have authority in this time. If you don't own your time, don't try to have authority in this time. Right? Jesus had of authority in His time because He lived in His reason that He was in His time. Time being the fourth dimension. Time being the dimension that causes life. Time is what causes movement. If we all got stuck in time, how much movement's there? None. So the fourth dimension is one you can't see, which is time, which keeps writing the next second. Who owns your time? Who owns your time? Now, everything, and I did this last week, everything must be in relationship with something before it can be anything in its given time. Now, that's just the way it is. If I'm frozen in time, I've got to be in relationship with something before I move. So in the physical, three-dimensional, I'm in relationship with my brain. My brain says, right arm, move, and it moves. So I'm in relationship three-dimensionally with that. The fourth dimension is the driver of the whole software. I'm going to show it to you. Remember, just try to... I can hear you, Alan. I don't understand yet. I understand. Just grab it. Everything must be in relationship with something before it can be anything in its given time. Now, what you got to understand, there is a driver. The fourth dimension has a driver. You have what I call a driver and a driven. Did you know that a driver can be turning 100 RPM and make the driven run 300 RPM? A driver can be turning 100 RPM, and the driven can turn 300 RPM, but the driver pulls the driven. You say, Alan, how does that happen? It's according to the sprocket. If a driven's got about a 10-tooth sprocket, to double that, how much does a driven have to be? A 20-tooth sprocket. As the 10 pulls the 20, guess what's happening? The 20's running twice as fast as the 10. When we're hooked to the driver, the driven's going to move faster than the driver. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. The relationship is everything. We can move around the earth quicker than Christ. We can reach more people than Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. He's the driver. We're the driven. We got more teeth on our sprocket than you had at 200 A.D., I'm going to try to show you this. Everything must be in relationship with something before it can be anything. So we're the driven. Jesus is the driver. If you don't have Jesus driving you, something's driving you because you're a driven. You're a driven. You're not a driver. What happens with gossip, backbiting? It's a driver. You're a driven. That's the reason if you're a gossiper, somebody will tell you something, and when you tell it, it'll be 100 times worse. That's right. Say, Alan, how do you know that? Because I know how it works. Now, let's watch it. First dimension, you know what it is. It doesn't represent time. It's just a straight line. Then we went into second dimension. You know what that is. It's more of a, just like a piece of paper laying down. That would be two-dimensional because I can see all four sides. Third dimension, third dimension doesn't move. It's the thickness and the depth. I'm not going to go back into those too much. And then with that, there is no time and no life. See, I can come up here, we can build our, what we call our three-dimensional box, and y'all have seen me build it the last 2 weeks, I guess it is now. And as we're going one-dimensional, two-dimensional, and three-dimensional, you got to understand those dimensions are there, the three dimensions, but they're just laying there. They don't have life. They have no movement. Now, this is the reason I'm trying to emphasize to a prophetic audience the necessity of understanding spirit. It's very, very important to understand spirit. It's the part we can't see. But as a driven, the fourth dimension spiritual world can be our driver. It will drive you. Drugs and alcohol. I cannot see the driver. but I know it's powerful. Well, I'm a driven. I am not drugs and alcohol. Thank you very much. I'm just got my chain hooked to the wrong driver. Because I'm the driven, because I'm in relationship with the driver. That relationship causes that driver to driven me. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm just driven to do it? I just brought a new dimension to that terminology for you. Now, we say yes to time and yes to life. The fourth dimension is a movable measurement as a specific spiritual marker. That's when things start moving. If I'm frozen in time, three-dimensionally, I'm here. When I move, the fourth dimension came into play. It took time to do it. Now, you got to start realizing this specific marker. Now, with this dimension, I'm going to show this to you again. But I showed you how that the fourth dimension is you can picture Christ, and your scripture says it like this. I'm assuming that you're here or watched last week's. The fourth dimension is Christ, and spiritually speaking, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I can't see him, but he's inside of here. I know he's inside of here because I believe a ridiculous story that if I believe in Jesus, I'll go to heaven. That's not right. People don't think of that. But for some reason, I believe it. Why do I believe it? Because he is in me. And he is truth. And truth is not logical to me. But he is in me, and I believe it. So that's the fourth dimension of spirit world. Now, here we see that duplicate inside of us, which is Christ, and I've shown you this before, is hooked together with what we call eight axes. There's an inner box and there's an outer box. Outer box, three-dimensional. Inner box is fourth dimension. But it's in relationship to the outer box. Now, all dimensions are in relationship to each other because they are another dimension of the same truth. I covered that with you last week. Now, here's fourth dimension. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So glory has a hope. It's Christ in me, and we can't see it. But we know it's real. Now, if Christ, the Spirit, comes out of the fourth dimension, that means that fourth dimension, Christ in you, is alive. And he moves. He's alive, and he moves. He makes you alive and you move. The greater the relationship, the stronger the duplication of the same truth in time. So if you are building and growing your relationship with Christ daily, your relationship or how you are hooked to the Christ in you becomes stronger in this time that we're in. You get stronger and stronger. You get more understanding. Your faith is now an understanding faith, and you walk in a knowing. Now, watch this. There are periods of time, seasons, and there are specific times. We did this in Ecclesiastes also. To everything there is a season, and to a time, to every purpose under the heavens. So we see here that a time has a purpose. So if you were born in this time, you were born in this time with a purpose. Did you know that everyone that is born in this time with a purpose carries a light? This earth needs your light. Yes. Every bit of light that is covered over with a bushel basket makes the earth a little darker. Every light has a purpose. Every purpose has a time. Faith is the relationship between third and fourth dimensions. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see fourth dimension. But faith is what hooks me to it, because I can't see it. But it brings about those things that I can't see. How does it bring it about? Because it's in me and it works out of me. It does this. See, we're wanting God to come move, but outside of us. We don't really want to be a participant. Now, God can, and God has. But God's choice of moving on the earth is working out of you.
Yes!
He wants to move like this out of us. Now, listen, there's no greater feeling than when God moves out of you. You want to laugh and cry and run all at the same time. If you ain't careful, it'll make you shout.
Yes, it will.
Glory to God. Fear can be a spiritual time marker just as faith. Fear, and I gave you this scripture. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. But now watch this one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So fear's not the end of the story. Faith is. Which is the greater, fear or faith? Faith will trump fear every day. Yes. Every time. Every time. All right, let's move on because I got some stuff I want to do. Remember this. Dimensions are in relationship to each other through faith. The greater the relationship, the stronger the duplication of the same truth moving in time. So here it is, a duplication, but we're going to add to it's moving in time. That's the reason it's so important. It is so important. Unforgiveness gets you stuck in time. Why do we want to forgive? Because it sticks your time clock. Quit it. You can't move. Unforgiveness sticks you in time to that event. You got to move on with it. So God has given us the power to overcome by giving us the ability to forgive. You say you can't, you're lying now because you can. God has given us the power to forgive. You're not letting somebody off the hook. You're giving yourself the ability to go. Come on, somebody.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, let's move on here. What did I do? Oh, my little sticks are coming up, my little axes. Okay, you see the little axes coming up there? You can barely see them, but they're sneaking in there. That's the relationship. Now, watch this. We cannot see the fourth, but we can make it real by giving it time. Now, this is what you got to understand about the fourth dimension. It is time. So you say, well, God, I'm going to pray more when I get to it. It's not going to work because the Spirit is time. You have to give it time because that's what it is. Because the time's what makes it happen. Time's what makes a third move. It's a fourth. I feel like I got marbles in my mouth. Can y'all understand any of this?
Yes!
Thank you. All right. Yes, it's exactly right. It will. It'll duplicate it. Okay. Your faith makes four dimensions real by giving it time. In other words, if God says, hey, you're in Walmart, Lord says, and Spirit says, go over there and talk to that person. If you don't give it time, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's the reason you got to understand. You know the hardest thing for people to accomplish? Do you know why people can't accomplish? You know why people can't Do anything. Work out. Do anything. The hardest thing to do in life is to start. Do you know that? And once you start, it's easier. But getting to say you're going to work out, or I'm going to eat right, I'm going to do that, I'm going to... The trouble is, the hardest part of it all is starting. Why is there such a battle at starting? Because that's the beginning of time. Did anybody get that? You just look at your own life. You just get started, it's okay. Well, I need to walk 2 miles a day. Well, just get started. Well, I'm going to start tomorrow. Well, I'm going to start. And once you get to doing it, you're like, well, I enjoy this. This isn't too bad, whatever. All of a sudden, the pressure starts going away after you start. The battle is at the fourth dimension because time is the spirit. Time's what brings it alive, makes it real. We can make believe all day long, or we can make it real. And real is when we give it time. It's a spiritual dimension. It's not just a decision of your mind or your thinking. It's real. Time is the factor. Now, I showed you this. We're going to put a video back up, please, if you would. Last week of this video of how Christ in you and the working out of Christ. Does anybody remember that last week? We'll see if it'll get going here. It's the four dimensions and it's in time. And we might get it and we might not. There it is. All right. That is that same little box that I wrote. Now, do you realize that I could stop that movement at any time, and it takes on three dimension? When it starts moving, it takes time for it to move. Anybody see that? So what's inside is going to the outside. And now what's outside is going to the inside. Now what's inside is going to the outside. And what's on the outside is now going to the inside. So when you read the scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's what it's talking about. Christ is working and moving in and out through you. Why? You say, Alan, why? Because He's in you, and He is time. He's time. Now, what does sin do? It sticks you in time. It stops it. You break your axis of relationship with the inner box that you can't see. You got a hiccup in time. Trying to let it work out, and then you stop, and you got to go again. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, the ability that's in Christ will come out in us, a true phenomena, a true reality that is obtained by our relationship with that dimension of the Spirit, which is Christ. All right, let's go to the next one. Give my next PowerPoint there, please. If you can, there we go. Is that it? Okay. Now, it takes time to create movement. So when the Lord tells you something, if you want Him to revolve out of you, what He tells you, if you don't give it time, it's not going to come to life. And let's go here right quick. If you give the kingdom of God time for something, it's going to cost you something that appears to be greater than the time you're giving to. Amen. You're going to say, well, I've got to go down here and get my lottery ticket. I don't have time to talk to this. It might be the next ticket. Decision has to be made. I'm going to give up what appears to me to be greater for a lesser. How do you give time? How do you tell you're doing kingdom time in the Spirit? Because it appears to be for a lesser than the greater you have given up. To us, it feels like it's going to cost us more than it's worth. True sign is kingdom. When we give up a greater for a lesser, we'll discover that the lesser was the greater all the time. All right? You ready to move forward? To agree with time sets things in motion. Ecclesiastes. Wow. You can say, Alan, is this biblical? Well, let's test it. To everything there is a season and a what? A time. To every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain embracing. A time to get, and a time to loose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to read and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time for love and a time to hate, time of war and a time of peace. Now, why did Solomon put this thing? The wisest man in the world, I might add, is trying to give us an emphasis about time. Time. Just the right time. Now that you're considering this fourth dimension of time, now we want to understand there's a right time. There's a right time to sow. The right time to love. A right time. Now watch it. The greater the relationship, the more you know the right time. Remember, Christ knew the hope of glory. It's on these axes of relationship. The greater the relationship, the more you'll know the right time. I can't give you a textbook of the right time because the Holy Spirit in your life is so spontaneous, you don't have time to read the owner's manual. Look, watch this one. Now, I've got it pointing back to one of those axes there. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes!
So who knew the right time? God knows the right time. You can say, well, Alan, there's so-and-so's not saved. I mean, they should have. I'm sorry, it might not be the right time. That's right. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Well, why in the world did God wait so long to save me? Anybody ever had that one? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God said it wasn't time yet. Well, if God can let somebody go 30, 40 years and do all kinds of sin, and somebody go get saved at 5 years old, and God's the one that knows the right time, what's more important, the 40 years or the right time? The love of God will cover 4 years and 40 years. It's not about the sin. He's covered it. It's about the time. Come on. Time's more important than the quantity of sin. Time is important. Watch this one. Now, time and eternity are in a relationship here. We're living in time. Then we've got eternity. It's one of the axes of relationships. Now watch this. 1 John. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives how long?
Forever.
Oh, here's what I want you to start seeing. We have got time and eternity are in a weird kind of a relationship here. Because I'm living in time, my body is dying, right? I'm not going to keep this one. I am getting a new one. I don't know if y'all heard that or not. I'm getting a new one. But this one's going to pass away because I've got to have one that'll live in eternity. That's going to be some type of, I don't know if I'm going to be an X-Man or Spider-Man. Or, I don't know. It's going to be some type of superhuman body we're going to have here. Now, watch this one. Eternity, watch it, watch it. Please watch this. Please get it. Eternity was placed in us before the foundations of the world. I keep referring to you that in the prophetic, you're calling people. God thought of us before the foundations of the earth. The prophetic is calling us unto who we were in God's mind before the foundations of the earth. We're bringing forward, y'all heard my teaching on that, from then. Well, watch it. Eternity. Eternal. Eternity was placed in us before the foundations of the earth. Watch it. Ecclesiastes. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We can't even fathom what He's done from beginning to end, much less eternity that He's put in our hearts. Now, you maybe don't know what to do with eternity in your heart, but it's in there. It's in everybody that's been born. Eternity. Let me prove it to you. You see, that's geese. Geese fly south. Why? It's put in them. They've got this internal instinct to fly south and north according to the season. Nobody tells them. I was reading a story. Somebody had this, some kind of a bird. It was in Texas. They took it with them to New York. Somehow or another, it got out. They called back to their old home. I think it was 3 days or 4 days or something. The bird flew back to that home in Texas. Now, how did it go home? It's something internal. Listen to me, please. Inside of every human being is the desire. It's a desire to go home. There's an instinct in us to go home. There is an internal drive in us to find the peace for our soul that we can only find at home. The day you were born, God was calling you home. He put that instinct in everybody. Now, people look a lot of the times at their own places. We just need to rejoice that we found the right place. So when people are looking, don't cast them down. They maybe need to fly south and they're going west or something. Help them get their coordinates on. They've got a desire to go home, just like all of us have. All right, you got that one? In the prophetic, in this, God has placed in us, in the human heart. He has placed it, eternity in our heart. Now, you are made more for eternity than you are time now. You will function better in eternity than now. Yeah, just praise God. Because you have been created with eternity in mind. Not now. So Satan's trying to hijack that's eternal to run his game now. I get ticked off just as I get to thinking about it. If I sound mad, it's because I get ticked off. How we run Satan's program when we're eternal beings. It's put into us before the beginning of time. So God, when we're finding out our reason and the time that we are living in, we are trying to let God recreate us with eternity in mind. Can you see why every time God moves, it's with redemption in mind? Redemption to what? To give you redemption unto that eternal state. And you know how long he'll wait? Longer than you will. Praise God. It's called the grace of God. He wants us to get it. He wants everybody to get it. Now, you remember this one. You probably don't know that little drawing there, but that's the... You remember when Jesus had the demoniac? He went to an island and there's a guy there full of... Some says 3,000, some says 6,000. Way I figure you get over 300, doesn't make any difference. But he's got a bunch of demons. Y'all remember that? I want you to see this thing about God's put it in us. Listen, once you figure out God's put it in you, put a little water on it. Just watch something grow. It'll give you the heebie-jeebies. It'll grow. Now watch it. You remember the demoniac here. Now, it's right here in Mark chapter 5. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of, how you say that, Guardians? No, that's not right. Gadarenes or something. Gadarenes, that's it. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He's a booger, wasn't he? Come on, somebody. It was his time. Now, I want to tell you something. It was his time, and it was important that he respond right in his time. You say, well, Jesus went up there and cast him out. Let's look in the Scripture, not just at it. And always night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. See verse 6? The demoniac worshiped Jesus before he got set free. Does anybody see that?
Yes.
How did he do it? Because it was in him before he was created. I don't care where you are in life, just worship God. I don't care how many demons you are, worship God. It's in you. The demoniac worshiped Jesus with 6,000 demons. Surely to goodness we can do with a Pepsi and fries. Come on, somebody. 6,000 demons and he worshiped the Lord.
Yes!
What made the time marker? His worship. Because he came, God gave him the internal want to. The demoniac wanted to worship Jesus before he was set free. So worship is stronger than any demon you got.
No!
You don't get set free to worship. You worship to get set free. I about took my breath.
Yes.
Say, Alan, I got it. God put that thing in us before the foundations of the world. Don't judge anybody when they worship God. Say, were their hairs too long or this, got this tattoo or they got that. Don't quit it. Let me ask you something. Can you imagine how demonstrative his worship was for Jesus to cast 6,000 demons out of him? And he worshiped with the demons on his back. Watch it. Worship is a time marker. Worship is a time marker. You look at what your trouble is, what's hurting you. I don't care if you're sick, if you're not sick, if you're, I don't care. Worship God. Because it sets a spiritual time marker. Might get you set free of a demon or two in the process. Worship. You know, I just run out of time. It's a good thing I'm about out of air, just to be honest with you. I'm about half dizzy. We are not to call forth something out of its time. You can look at the demoniac and say, woe is that old demoniac. There he is, old boy, duddy, 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 duddy. How many of us would go up to him and say, just worship God? Just right where you're at, worship God. Just worship God. You say, how can they do it? Because God's put it in every one of us before the foundations of the earth. So the strength and the power is within us to do it. And it's something to do with worshiping during that time of trouble that sets the fourth dimension of time into movement. The demoniac couldn't get free. He worshiped God and things started to rumble. Yes, Jesus was on the scene, but the worship of the demoniac with 6,000 demons on his back was the marker in time. Say, Alan, I got it. All right, we're going to have to sing. I'm either getting drunk or swimmy-headed. You think we could worship a little bit more today? Just a little bit more. Let's all stand and we're going to pray. And I don't care what your trouble is today. I don't care what your sickness is today. I don't care how many demons you got today. I don't care how broke you are today. Worship Jesus. And His presence will be in this house to do whatever He wants to do. So, Lord Jesus, be with us. Fill our hearts, fill our mouths, oh God, with praise. Help us to run with Your truth. Help us to praise Your name. Help release in us, oh God, that eternal, that praise and worship of eternity. Let it be released in us today is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.